Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. We'll begin our reading in chapter 3, verse 26, but our focus today is on chapter 4. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, and not just when I'm with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I'm perplexed about you. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman, the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Zion and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia that corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son. The slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Folks, God makes it abundantly clear that there are only two paths. There is a broad way that leads to destruction. There is a narrow way that leads to life. But sadly, many people think that if you keep a bunch of rules and do this and don't do that, you're on the narrow way. That is not the case. If your attempt to be reconciled to God is a matter of keeping a bunch of rules, you're on the broad way. That is, in fact, the approach that people everywhere through all the ages have taken to trying to achieve eternal life. God has provided one way of salvation. It is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And you and I need to realize that there, all the efforts that we make to try to do something in order to be justified before God fall short. Many, Jesus said, will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and do this and do this in your name?" He says, "I'll say to them, depart from me, I never knew you." Well, what was their problem? Their problem was that they were relying on what they did and did not do. You and I may be tempted to fall into that same trap. And we need to recognize that our only hope is Jesus. We cannot be saved in any other way. Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? When I ask people the classic EE questions, evangelism explosion questions, have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven? Some people say yes, some people say no. But in order to know what they're trusting in, the second question is, if God were to say to you, if God were to say to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" what would your answer be? Almost everybody wants to answer in terms of what they have and have not done. And there are many people who will say, "Well, I've tried to live a good life. I know I'm not perfect, but I've done this and I've done this and I've always tried to do this and I've never killed anybody." But there are other people who say, "Well, because I prayed and I asked Jesus into my heart and I went forward and made a public profession of my faith and I was baptized." Is there really a qualitative difference between those two? Not much. Both of them are trusting in what they did. "I did this, I did this, I did this. I prayed the prayer." That's why some people are nervous they might not have prayed the right prayer. Or maybe they didn't pray it sincerely enough. They're still focused on what they do. Sometimes, when I ask that question, if God were to say, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" what would your answer be? Some people answer, prompted by the Spirit of God, "My only hope is Jesus." Are you trusting in what you've done? Are you trusting in what you're doing? or are you trusting in Jesus? He's our only hope. He's our only hope. So when we trust in him, when he is the basis of our confidence, then God says in his word, we're children of God. We are his children. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, when you are God's child, you're not a slave. And the Galatians had heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and now they were thrown into confusion by some very impressive religious people who came from Jerusalem and were telling them, you men need to be circumcised, or you can't really be Christians. Circumcision is not wrong. Trying to do something to earn salvation is very wrong. And so Paul is pleading with them not to take their eyes off Jesus. If you do, you fall back into slavery. I love what he says in verse 23. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? And the answer is that many of them weren't, but he's also speaking to the Jewish people here because the analogies that he's going to use are the ones that the Jews would know well. The Gentiles, not so much. But he's writing to this church that was made up of Jews and Gentiles, and he's saying, don't listen to those guys in Jerusalem who are telling you, don't listen to Paul. He says, think back. How were you saved to begin with? Were you saved by keeping the law? No, we were all lawbreakers. You're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Trusting in him is the way of salvation. So, he says, it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman, the other by the free woman. The son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. Okay, you know the story of Abraham and Sarah. But Paul brings that story back into focus here, and he says, do you remember? Do you remember what's in the law? That's part of the law. That's part of the books of Moses, the Pentateuch. And he says, if you want to be under the law, you're going to be a slave. You have to obey all the commands, and you can't. You've already messed it up. Now, he's going to go on in this book and say, don't use your liberty as an occasion of the flesh. Don't take the fact that you're free as a son to behave like a dog. Don't do things that you know are displeasing to God. Not because you want to try and earn your salvation, but because in light of God's love for us, how can we not love him and want to please him? God has demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He has proved his love. So now, don't try to earn it. Do you think my wife would be pleased if I was always trying to earn her love? No. She'd be brokenhearted that I'm not willing to accept her word as true that she loves me. She has shown her love for me. She has promised her love to me. God has shown his love for us. God still speaks his love to us. We need to repent and believe the gospel. Believe what he says. He says, I love you. Well, I don't feel it. Okay, I'm sorry your feeler is broken. Okay? God's word is still true. It is unshakable. Heaven and earth may pass away. God's word will never pass away.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And so Paul is saying to the Galatians, God is saying to us that we are supposed to live as the children of promise, ones who became part of the family through a miracle of God. We are the heirs of Abraham, who had faith in God and it was credited to him as righteousness. We are to have faith in God, trusting him. It's not just believing intellectually. It is a matter of trust. We are to trust him. And as we do, we walk in freedom. We are not bound by all the rules and regulations that the Jews were bound under the old covenant. Well, so you're saying that was just a bunch of dumb rules? No. God gave the law in order to demonstrate our need for a Savior. And the Jews, in order to try and make sure they didn't violate God's laws, added on a bunch of other laws to try and make sure they didn't do anything wrong. And eventually, by the time Jesus comes on the scene, they have long been more focused on the rules they added than they were on the law that God had given them. Satan is a judo expert. And he will take whatever we're doing and try and push it to a bad extreme. And so their addition of all these laws became a satanic way of obscuring the law of God, so that they would hate Jesus and want to kill him for violating the Sabbath by miraculously healing a man who had been sick for years. Does that make sense? Well, of course not. It's utterly insane, as is any attempt to try and earn our way to God. There's been some conversation in our culture recently about a particular group that had a bunch of basic life principles. Some of them were good things, but I'll tell you what wasn't good. I personally heard the great teacher, the Wizard of Oz, or I'm sorry, it was the Wizard of someplace right outside Chicago. Anyway, I personally heard him say that you do not, you know, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to put your trust in Jesus. But even if you're not going to heaven and don't put your trust in Jesus, if you will simply follow these principles, you'll have a wonderful life. Now, when you hear a statement like that from somebody, there should be a sound that goes off in your brain, something like this. Bah, 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 bah. You know, that is an alarm that says, whoa, something's wrong here. It was just another form of the health and wealth gospel. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And the problem is it obscures the gospel. That's the problem. Pretty soon you're focused on all the externals. Believe me, I struggle with this here at the ranch because we have rules that aren't in the Bible and we want you to follow them. But we work really hard to say to you, bah, 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 listen, these rules that we're giving you are not God's rules. They're our rules that we believe are a good way of making our life here work better. Don't think that anybody who isn't living by ranch rules is an unspiritual person. That's just not true. It's not true. And if you get that idea, boom, you are out of bounds. Some of the rules that we have here have helped a lot of folks coming out of chaos to find some order in their lives, to have some secure boundaries. But folks, please understand, in your student handbook as well as in the staff handbook, we talk about the fact that God's rules are vital. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't engage in sexual immorality. Don't murder. God's rules are permanent. All of that is an expression of the great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what does that look like? Well, first of all, you're to have no other gods before him. You're not to make a graven image. You go through the Ten Commandments, and it talks about how to love God and how to love your neighbor. But the focus is doing what we do out of love for the one who first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. We're not trying to earn God's love. We are saying thank you to the one we love who loved us first. I hope you're getting this. Recognize the difference between God's rules and our rules, and don't try to earn your salvation either way. You can't earn your salvation by keeping the Ten Commandments. God's law is good, but the purpose of God's law is not to give us the path to heaven. Remember the rich young ruler? He said, I've kept all the commandments since I was a child. That wasn't true. He thought it was because he'd rationalized in his own mind the things that he'd done wrong. Jesus could have said to him, you have not. What about the time you did this? Okay. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus just zeroed in on the one thing that would show him that his only hope is Jesus. He said, okay, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, you'll have great reward in heaven, then come follow me. The young man went away very sorrowful because he had great wealth. He was going to have to give up what he had trusted in because now he was going to trust in Jesus. Folks, I don't know what you're trusting in instead of Jesus, but if you're trusting in anything instead of Jesus, you need to get saved. Because people who are saved are people who have come to the end of themselves and realize they have no other hope. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said it was the man who prayed that prayer who went home justified. Those of us who are in Christ have received mercy. And the consequence is not that God just lets us off. Consequences that God adopts us into his family and we become joint heirs with Jesus. So, therefore, brothers, we're not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Our identity is in Christ. We are children of promise. God has worked a miracle, taken away our guilt, and given us eternal life. Rejoice in the Lord. For God has done great things.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.